What's up, Kryptonians? It's time for Krypton Episode 4, Voice of Rao, where we get to see a little bit more of Rao than just his voice. And Lyta is in question for treason, and Seg has been taken captive, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Percocet, Miley Percocet. Percocet,
yeah.
Percocet.
I love the cave band.
Gotta represent.
I feel like we need to get, hold chase on, I'm gonna make it fly.
Never chase a, no chase no mask on.
That's right, the mask comes off this week,
mask
you guys.
Your mask on.
Like I said, you guys. The voice of Rao's mask is off and things are
going down.
Wild.
Transpired.
Yes.
We've got so much in this episode, you guys. But before we get into it, let me introduce myself. I'm Steph Sobran. I'm joined by two lovely people. I'll let them introduce themselves.
Hello, everybody. My name is Super Tony. That's all you need to know.
That's all you need to know.
Yep.
And I'm Candace Cruz. I don't have anything spectacular about that.
Other right than there. Her. She's just spectacular in general.
Thank you. I love it.
Well, this episode, we have so much to talk about. This episode was so good. I think it was my favorite of the season so far. The voice of Rao. He's struggling to maintain his control while House Vex is kind of plotting. It isn't kind of. They are plotting against him.
Straight plotting.
Straight coup right there.
The voice of Rao calls for Nova Day to be moved up. And we get our first look of Black Zero-ish associates.
Possibly. So, not confirmed.
Yeah, not confirmed. Kind of confirmed.
Or denied.
Oh, yeah, true. True. You right. You also right. You cannot confirm nor deny.
There you go.
Yes. But they're fishy. They're fishy. Right?
Yes. So we'll be hitting the Nova Cycle, Ona, and Voice of Rao's, and then and we'll move to Seg and his whole gang, and then Black Zero, Esk, can't confirm or deny, and then Lyta accused of treason, House of Zod, and House Vex. And kind of their motives moving forward. So before we get into that, what were your guys' just initial thoughts of this episode?
Oh, yeah, it was a good episode. I enjoyed it. We saw some little action. We saw some creepy crawly also action going into Nose. Thought that was pretty cool. I like a little horror element to my shows.
Nasty.
So it was a nice little, it was a nice little nasty bit. I like
that one threw me off. Mm-hmm. I couldn't handle that. My nose started twitching the whole time. But I loved this episode so much because I felt like the other episodes were amazing, but I felt like now seeing this episode, we don't have any more backstory that we need to establish. Now we're just in the depths of everything.
You know what I mean?
Like the thick of it. We don't have to establish characters as much. We don't have to kind of establish the storyline. At the beginning, it's more like we're just in all of it.
Yeah, I agree. The first two episodes were really good world building, and they're still doing that. I think this is why the show is really strong and why it definitely should keep moving forward as a series in general. But now, like you said, we get to see actually more development with Voice of Rao, where we're like, who the heck is this guy behind this mask? He's still creepy, but
creepy mask.
Yeah, very creepy mask.
Looks very clunky.
Yeah.
how do you look, dude?
How are you looking through this?
Can he ever just look down, or else it just be like, whoop?
many questions about him still.
I feel like that would just be so hot.
Yeah.
How
sweaty is your face, on
at
average?
All time.
Oh my gosh, I would break out so bad.
Anyways, right. we digress, but yeah.
Sorry. So, yeah, but I agree. We get a little more of him, but I will say that I would love moving forward. I still want more kind of back information on Voice of Rao. How did he get there? Has he been the one since Val-El was thrown off the cliffs into the space world? So he has the Nova Cycle moved up because there's been discourse within the Rankless group, and he's trying to get organization back. And I think it's really interesting. We saw it last episode with class struggles, and now we're bringing in religious struggles and the way that it's used for power. And it's what do you guys think is going on? Because now we see that Darren Vex he must not really be a believer. Do you guys think a lot of this religion is a hoax?
I think to an extent. I think everyone always wants, in general, human beings want to believe in something and believe in something bigger than themselves. And even Rao, as we see, the voice of Rao, whenever he feels threatened, you realize if people don't have something to believe in or to like worship or to whatever, like your foundation can crumble because people end up going against each other. So it's just find it really fascinating. Like whether or not he believes, he just knows that there needs to be a higher power of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
So whether or not the voice of Rao or Rao in general is like is a fake. No, I got to say it's definitely real. It's real to the people who believe in it for sure. But I kind of want to focus. Well, what I liked about what they showed us about Rao on this episode was how it's used to control the people.
Yeah,
because there was unrest in the rankless, and they were like, all right, we got to do this ceremony so people can like quiet down. And I thought it was very interesting because beforehand, like the previous episode is all like the military is trying to, in a sense, not suppress the people, but like, you know, do something with the rankless. And then this is a more peaceful approach, but it's also like clouded in a way that you're still controlling the people. It's very constant with how Rao or the voice of Rao works. Just like how he dealt with Seg and how he let him not have the insignia of Vex and gave him the scientific guild insignia.
No, I think that's really true. And I think it kind of parallels with the whole idea that we do get to kind of peel off the layers of Rao. Like we see his mask off, his robes off. And so it's like there is a man behind this. We don't know what his... And so with this whole moving up Nova Day, trying to control the rankless when they really have nothing, they're living in... so impoverished and in such unfair treatment
it's like, literally.
What is this man's motive? Because you do see he is a man, but I just, we still don't know who he is.
Right.
So then at the Nova Day, this is where things really start picking up in this episode, in this plot line with Ona. She finds out her mom's not coming back. Mm-hmm. She has this kind of like, I guess it's the equivalent of like Catholic Christian cross almost. Right.
Like the insignia. Yeah.
Real quick, can I just touch on what you said? Like he has no motives. And I think it's.
No, I don't know what his motives are.
We don't know what his motives are. But personally, I think it didn't really matter. Like he's like, spoiler alert, he's offed. Like he's done. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't matter who he was before. Like it's just done. That's why he kept his like face revealed the whole time, because it honestly didn't really matter who he was under there. Mm-hmm. It was more like the message and like the lore that he brought to the show is the reason why he existed. But now I feel like it's more like to hide Brainiac's actual plots now, because with that helmet, no one's going to know, oh yeah, there's a Brainiac under
there. Other than the fact that there was a lot of people watching this show thought that Voice of Rao could be Brainiac, like from the past. And then But now we get that, spoiler alert, that it's not now Brainiac is in him, which is like the biggest come up ever, which we'll get into later.
Right.
So, that's a really good point, Anthony. But we see that Ona gets to stand up, and I was freaked out.
I thought they were going to kill her. That's my first feeling and reaction when I see this child go up and there's like this ceremony. I'm like, oh God, they're going to sacrifice this little girl and she's going to be happy about it because she loves she loves Rao so much. And I'm just like, oh no, please.
Voice of Rao's like, hold on, let's quiet down these rankless. Here, let's murder this.
Let's just murder the little child.
Rankless girl here.
You don't know.
But they could all be like, yes, sacrificial. Yes. You don't know. That could be something.
That's why I like how they hit on religion. And I hope that they hit on kind of how the rankless in that society take the religion, because it can get so creepy and manipulated under the wrong sort of power or voice of the religion.
Again, I think people just want something to believe in, and when you have nothing like the rankless do, you have absolutely nothing. Like, what else do you have in this life other than to worship something bigger than you are? And the fact that Ona got to go up with Rao and gets a rank of sort, it's just like, oh my gosh, that could be my child. Or, oh my gosh, like we can get better. It gives hope. Hope is the driving thing for people.
It's like she just became an angel and she just got like her halo.
Well,
like,
and it's such a power move on his part because it's like, oh, like someone can come up, like rags to riches. Like I just blessed everyone. Keep believing in me. And
belief and hope will keep people going. Mm-hmm. Even if they never reach that, it just keeps you going.
I love how we're like, Rao didn't plan this, but like this can work.
Yeah, he was like just giving it a gift.
He's like, I'm just going to pray for now. Wait, there's a little girl. Hold on, bring her. This can work. This can work. We can make this work.
We found something. Work. Bring her
The rankles will be on our side. Get her in a little dress. We got a dress? We got a dress back there for her? Yeah, we got tons of them.
I love the lighting, too. It was just so light.
She literally so looked like a baby angel.
She was a cherub.
In Teletubbies. Do you know that? Like, I was like, oh my god, I really hope they don't do the whole handmaiden look, like with the typing on her face.
Maybe you have to earn those.
Yeah.
Maybe. You have to earn those,
character as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they seem to know the most about the voice of Rao than anyone.
And their scripture or whatever their, like, beliefs are.
And we see that the one of the handmaidens, I don't know exactly what they're called, when she gets called to talk to him, she looks, I can't tell what their feelings are about him. If it's fear, if it's like, oh no, we really do know him. He has a different side.
I got more like management. Like, hey man, it's time to get your shit on. It's time to get your stuff on. And
put the head on. Let's go.
That's what I honestly, I didn't feel any fear from them. I didn't feel any like, yeah, no fear, nor, it was more like acquaintance. Like, hey dude, like, come on. Yeah.
Okay.
It was more like professional. Yeah.
I'm sure we'll see more of them now, especially that their voice of Rao.
Do they grow up within that? Because it seems like it, because of the way that Ono is taken in, they like are raised.
Like every year they get a letter on their face or something.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe. So creepy. You never know. That could be their cycles.
That could be, yeah. I agree. It could be, yeah.
Well, and do you guys have anything more to say about that before we get into the inception of Brainiac, right, into Rao and kind of the new development on Val-El's research on him?
Did you guys ever get the feeling that Rao seems like he's afraid?
Yeah.
He seems like he knows something is going on. Mm-hmm. And I think that is depicted also in the power moves that he does make, like with not giving the insignia and then taking in Ona. Like, I feel like he's grappling at whatever bit of power he still has, because I feel like if you are at that place in power, you should know everything that's going on within your presence. I feel like he actually knows that there is a coup going on, so he's like trying some way or another to keep power in whatever way he can. But maybe that's just what I was perceiving
sorry, are you good?
Yeah, I'm done.
Just making sure. I actually don't feel that he's afraid at all. Like, and also, and I don't think it matters anymore, because he's not Rao anymore. Like, he's not the voice.
Obviously, but
he's like the brain of Rao.
I don't think he's necessarily afraid because of that. I think that it would be no surprise to me if Darren and Voice of Rao did believe Val-El's science. They did believe that there was another person coming, but they're so into power and keeping order and all this other BS that they kept that from them, but they know that there is something coming.
Of course.
So that's where I think the fear came from.
And same with Black Zero. They're afraid of Black Zero. Why are they focusing so much effort on this? It's to detract attention from the fact of, like, actually knowing what science is really out there.
Okay, that's a good point. Yeah. You know? I wasn't buying it until you said that.
Now you buy it?
Okay. I personally did not feel any like fear from Rao. I know he was getting a little antsy about something.
Maybe that's what I was feeling.
Yeah, but I know. I mean, like, any terrorist group that's after you, like, he's been attacked, like, personally, like, with the bomb. So, like, I could see why he's afraid of, like, this terrorist group that's like, yeah, they're gonna get me. Right. so let's get them first, yeah? I'm not afraid. Just get them first,
just
please.
Get somebody.
Also,
please.
One quick thing that I do not want to glance over. So, last week, right, it was teased at the end of the episode, Darren was gonna get, I don't know, chewed out by the voice of Rao, right? Or not? I guess not, because it didn't happen this episode.
No, it kind of did, though.
What happened?
He did say, like, someone from a place of power within the higher ranks needs to pay the sacrificial.
That's, yeah, okay. He said that wasn't, like, directed towards Darren at all. It was more just like,
I thought it was directed towards Darren, and Darren was like, I'm not being the person. Let me go find somebody else.
He gave, like, a gulp, and then he, like, sweat a bit, and then he's like, okay.
Well, yeah, he found someone else to die instead.
No, he didn't find. Rao told him to go get Lyta.
He never said Lyta's name in particular. He said someone needs to, it could have been implied that Darren was the one that needed to fall.
No, because then we would have seen Rao call out Darren, and then but no, apparently not. So.
Oh, I thought it was implied that was meaning Darren or someone. He's like, well, someone needs to pay.
Either way, besides the point, my point is that this show teased that Darren was going to get something, and he got nothing.
Oh.
Well, he was going to get in trouble, and he didn't get in trouble. And I was just like, what?
He's angry about it.
Yeah, that was a whole like one of the biggest plot points of like the last episode. It was just like, ooh, daddy, like you're gonna get in trouble with the big man. What are you gonna do?
Oh
like,
my gosh.
Yeah, like that's and it was like, oh man, I don't know. And on this episode, it's like, oh, I guess nothing happens to him.
Well,
I'm a little annoyed it didn't pay it off. That's about it.
Ah,
that's why. I want to see him get something instead of like.
I think he'll get nice his little, due closer to the end, though.
Mm. Well, I do have good news for you guys, something that is positive. Do you want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Let me keep listening. I knew you would. For those who do, have we got the podcast for you and you, Anthony.
Hey,
you need this right now.
Oh, how do you know?
Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Every Friday, you guys.
Boom.
Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life. Lord knows we all need that.
True.
From health and wellness to career relationships, finances, and more, let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free, you guys. Make sure to rate and comment. And when you do, let Maria know it was the Krypton panel who sent you. I know you guys are into comics and Krypton. My gosh, that was really good.
We weren't secrets with it, so it worked.
But you guys will love this podcast. We love it.
Yeah, it's really good.
Right on.
I love it.
Back to Krypton. This kind of leads to Brainiac's, the thing, the little voice of Rao.
It looks like a shrine or like a cross or like an insignia or action figure or something.
That's possessed.
Yes.
And we find that out when Voice of Rao has it and it basically does the same thing that did to Ono's mother.
Yeah.
So did you guys think that? I was not expecting that.
I was not at all.
Sorry, I was reading live chat. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. I kind of knew that that Brainiac's like organic parasite or whatever infection would be somewhere else because Val-El told us that she was dying and then she
did die. It has to go somewhere else.
So it does have to go somewhere, which is why I was like, is Seg going to find this out? I was freaking out, but I had no idea that that was going to happen.
Yeah, there is no setup as to like, oh, by the way, it can take over inanimate objects. Like,
no, I thought that was spectacular. Like the fact that it was planted there. And I think Ona did it. She specifically planted it there. Because why would her mother end up saying those as her last words?
Well,
that was the only lead up. That was the only lead up of it. You know what I mean?
I didn't
expect that that was the reason why. I thought it was like, oh, don't let her go to Rao or oh, don't let her do that.
Yeah.
I mean.
That's a good point. I thought it could be that like it was either A, that she knew that Voice of Rao was kind of like, had this huge like bad side to it.
Right.
Or that B, the last part of her like brain connection with Brainiac was saying like, that's what I'm going to do is take over Voice of Rao, which places him in the best position moving forward.
Of course.
To literally have all the information uploaded that he could possibly need because Voice of Rao is the most powerful person in the planet.
Yeah.
So that was really crazy. And then that kind of brings us to Val-El, Adam Strange, and Seg. Adam is trying to get Seg on the same page, and then this is when he finds out that Lyta was taken for treason, which we'll talk about that later.
It's Lyta.
Lyta, sorry.
It's okay.
But it's Lyta. I love
like
that.
Like a Lyta.
No, correct me.
I got corrected too. Sorry.
Correct me. I'm just talking too fast.
I'm just bitter.
He really wanted Lyta.
But so that takes us to this. I don't know what they are. It's a commander and it's a group that follows him. They said that they're Black Zero associated, but they're not Black Zero.
Right.
He kind of scoffed in his face when he associated him with Black Zero. That scene was disgusting to me.
Excuse me.
We're better than Black Zero.
We have this commander. I feel like all of a sudden he just went 0 to 100, started torturing him. Didn't even ask him a question.
Yeah.
Do you guys think this is a smart way to go about business?
I mean, I usually when I want answers out of someone, I stick a bug up their nose. You take a spider and stick up their
nose. Now you will listen to me.
I like the method. I feel like it was interesting. It does like at first you think it's torture. I also got flashbacks to the Matrix, the first Matrix. Have you guys ever seen that? Where like they stick a scent. Anyway, sorry. So it was for to check if they're a sentry. So. It was very interesting in the fact that these people know what's up, as in like, hey, we know about Brainiac, but we don't know how they know about Brainiac, which is a little annoying. I want to call them like, they're like mercenaries though.
But didn't they have a connection with like Val-El?
Did they work in the same?
Because he even made the comment as well to Seg where he was like, are you going to be another like useless L?
Right,
or are you
going to help? That's right.
So like...
Good point.
And honestly, it seems like this group, like Black Zero is not even an issue. I feel like once you see this group, you realize that Black Zero is like a non-issue, but that the bigger people in power are just focusing on it. I feel like this group of power is trying to like divert attention. They're like, big people, look at Black Zero, but we're actually controlling all of this over here.
No, I agree. And I feel like it's a very smart play by the writers of the show because it does have some comparisons to real life happenings when people are oppressed. They often, and like we see it in different sections, like in the Middle East right now, or Palestine, Iraq, and yada yada, where like you don't really know if it's a group of people that were oppressed and are kind of like ruining it for the rest of people because they're extremists, or if it's like the government put a bad name on them because they have this whole hoax like Voice of Rao has going on. So I love that aspect of it.
Yeah, I think they did a great job with all of this because there's so many different twists and turns, but they're also like fluidly connected and it makes sense. The way that it's like, I don't know, it's very latched within reality, even though it's such a supernatural world, which I like.
I'm going to call and say that that's our boy that was mentioned in the last episode. I'm trying to, not Dax, what's his name? Jax. Jax Orr, I believe that's Jax Orr. The guy who interrogated him.
The commander?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Can we just take a moment? Because I'm trying to break down what his plan was behind this. The whole point of them is to save Krypton and Kryptonians and Kandor.
Right.
But within, one of his men disobeyed him or laid a hand on Seg when he didn't give him the order. And then he snapped his neck. Mm. And then he knocked out another girl for... letting him get Seg being released, which I got that makes a little more sense. But just snapping someone's neck?
Okay, the snap neck is like the absurd one. The one where he punches a chick was actually
a little more.
It's because she had the thing in her, the buck thing. She's going crazy. Her mind. Yeah. So she just like straight knocked her out just for her own good.
Okay, I thought she had gone it out and was running after him.
Yeah.
I was like, no, she woke up alert.
Yeah, the one where he snaps the neck though, that was absurd. I was just like, what? That was
That was a waste of
0 to 100 like real quick. Also, like I feel bad for everyone under your control now because like you're not a great person.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, no wonder you guys haven't moved forward. There's something
you keep killing people.
Could he possibly just be like overly protective of Seg, and he was like, no one touches Seg.
I mean, maybe
because he knows how important he is.
Snape? Well, Seg doesn't know his own importance if that's the case.
Maybe he knows how important Seg is to like the overall scheme of things or something.
Well, let's talk about Seg. Yeah. So one thing I loved about this episode was the love involved.
Yes!
We are absolutely clear.
When he punched a chick?
No.
Oh, sorry.
I didn't have questions of it, but now it's absolutely confirmed he loves Lyta. So much.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But he finally said it.
Yes, Krypton's that's a big deal. Not worth fighting for if Lyta is not in it.
That was beautiful. That was like the most beautiful line I've ever heard. I want someone to say that about me.
I know. And he let Nyssa know, like, look, they will. Yeah. They will say that about you.
Yes. He thought it was funny.
What?
No, I'm just kidding. Huh? But anyways,
I'm surprised they haven't.
So what did he? So now we know that's kind of like a big part of his motives moving forward.
Of course.
And okay, before we do get, I feel like that will lead us into Nyssa and the whole that whole section. Yeah. But do you guys have anything else about Seg's position captured. Right now?
When he's captured, well, I just want to talk about like I think it's I like how cool it is how it's now Seg trying to save Lyta. trying to save Lyta, because in the previous episodes it's kind of like her coming through for him, and now it's like him trying to come through for her. Also, that whole interrogation scene was a little.
We'll get into that one.
I don't know. It was a little confusing because like I just didn't like how the commander like agreed to help Seg right away. I'm like, dude, you have this guy like strapped to a chair. He's in no like position to give you any proposition. Where you're like, okay, I'll help you.
Yeah,
it's like right. What?
That is a really interesting point. I'm glad you bring that up because it's like Seg did agree to helping him if he gets Lyta out, but then
and then just like takes his word for it. Like, okay, cool, he's gonna help me. I'm just gonna go break out this person out of like this heavily like. Military zone, like a prison, and
but
then,
they're like they can do that.
I know mean, they can got do that,
Seg,
but like
my question is, once Seg agreed, if they are on the same terms, did he dip because he just got a sudden impulse? Is it because he actually didn't trust him the entire time? What do you think his motive was behind that?
He's a rankless and he's a rat. No, I'm just kidding. And he shouldn't be trusted by this commander guy. Like, are you kidding me? Seg's a slippery snake. He's like, he's not gonna sit around and do nothing. Also, he's our hero, so he has to do something. I mean, but like, it's just, I don't know. I got a little annoyed by that, how the commander was just like, okay, we're gonna help you out.
And I mean, if you were strapped to a chair, would you just sit there aimlessly? Like, no, you're gonna try and get out. And I don't think he was ever gonna give over Rom at all. I think he was just using that as like his negotiation chip to be like, well, at least I can try and save Lyta. Mm. I don't think he was ever gonna save Rom.
Yeah.
And like give her over.
Yeah.
Now it's kind of pointless to give her over.
Yeah, like, what happens but, now? Like, do they go save Lyta, and then he comes back, like, oh, he's
well,
gone.
Now are they even going to save Lyta?
Oh, what if they save Lyta, keep her hostage until Seg actually comes through?
That'd I feel like cool. That sounds more probable.
You guys, yeah. Voice of Rao is not Voice of Rao anymore, so I feel like they might not even, she might be released because things are about to happen.
Yeah.
Like, ish there's is no gonna order go down. Happening now.
Well, do you feel like the collapse of, Kandor is
I think that like there's going to be a huge power struggle for who's on top because yep. It's clearly not Voice of Rao anymore.
Yeah, but it's not going
to I think he's going to play it up.
Yeah, I was about to
say. I think he's going to basically like I mean, he has the mask.
He's going to play the
so,
game.
So, Brainiac or whatever.
Oh, the mask.
Is going to end up putting
that.
The helmet on and play the part.
Yeah.
And use the power from within. Because didn't they say at the very beginning that, like, Brainiac knows how to, like, infiltrate? He gets all the information about the people and becomes part of the people in order to cause their own demise. So
yeah,
it's
that's
like,
why hitting Voice of Rao is, like, the best person ever.
Of course.
But I didn't think about, because with, in the other case, you could see him.
Right.
And it's obvious that he's possessed a body, but with the mask and the robes, that's perfect. You can't see anything.
Yeah, he's like completely covered up.
But it's Brainiac. No. If you really think about all of it, it was so ingenious the way that he plotted all of it. Like, he found someone that has a daughter that's so obsessed with the leader of your country or your world,
or like
then plots it into the mother and then gets it into the daughter in order to get like. Everyone's going to trust a child. It's the best way to infiltrate anything. So just like, that was like the perfect plan around.
If that was a plan. That
if it was a plan. But if it was, that was like spot on.
And on top
of
that.
Yeah, that is actually a really great point.
Yeah.
Like, you know, to be able to do like, think that far in advance to realize like the steps that you had to take in order to get. I mean,
you're saying Brainiac plotted that entire plan.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's really smart on the writer's side because Brainiac's played by Blake Ritson. So now if he's Voice of Rao just on like a time and money and like makeup level, that's so much easier to get him into the episodes without like the 8 hour or whatever makeup it takes to get him in that Brainiac.
True.
But I love him in the Brainiac. It's so,
so
creepy.
Cool. It was so cool. So and the cool. Eyes thing.
I wonder how big he is.
How big Brainiac is in scale? I wonder. Because that world, that ship that he's on, or whatever that living organism is huge.
Yes.
Huge.
Huge. Planet eater.
Planet Eater.
City Stealer.
Before we get into the, the next topic, if you guys are listening on iTunes, please leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, ask us your questions. Also, well, hold on.
5 stars.
Keep going. 5 stars.
Subscribe to our podcast, and you get updates on our newest episodes drop. And if you're on YouTube, give us those thumbs up. You know what I'm saying? Subscribe to the Sci-Fi Fantasy channel at AfterBuzz and the Superhero channel. And we'll see you every week, and it's going to be greater every week, even though we don't have that much left.
We have six
episodes.
We're almost at halfway mark.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. So that leads us to kind of our last section, which is a huge section in terms of moving forward in this whole series. We have Lyta, who's accused of treason.
Yep.
And that beginning scene, let's just start from like the beginning of that plot side with House Vex and House Zod. Mm-hmm. Lyta's in, and I love that little speech she gave about, like the pep speech she gave to them for accusing her before Darren ruined it. Like he ruins everything.
That's pretty good.
But that was so, Before Darren came in and ruined everything.
They meant Dev. I was like, what?
I really love Lyta as a character. She's so like, I feel like the perfect mixture of her mom and kind of like Seg almost.
Right.
Where she has like a really strong moral compass and wants to do the right thing, but is kind of limited. But she also wants to be loyal to Kandor.
Of course.
So then Darren comes in and takes her because Voice of Rouse is someone of higher rank needs to be blamed, which I thought it could have been her mom.
Right.
But so that kind of threw me for a loop. Were you guys, when he said that, who did you guys first jump to?
Lyta.
Yeah. I thought Lyta.
Cause, Lyta?
Yeah, because I mean, Jaina. It would make sense to go for the mother because she's higher up, but she didn't do anything wrong. So you have to find someone that was at fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In order to do it.
And then if it was her mother, like, that'd work against them because the mother's.
She needs the alliance.
Like, yeah, like the mother's pretty much like on their side. Like she's too much of a like military person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say something else. But yeah. But yeah, it was cool. I liked. I didn't get that in the last episode. How I was like, yeah, I arrested her so I wouldn't start this riot. And I was just like, oh, okay, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. But it kind of plays into like what I was saying too. Like you have to have the trust and see where like power is exuded. So if someone like kills this person, they're gonna revolt.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool.
Yeah,
I didn't get that in the last episode. Like I get why she did it and everything.
Right.
Oh, like personally, because she's got like that great moral compass. But I didn't realize like it suppressed soon to be riot, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And that always reminded me back to if you guys ever seen Do the Right Thing, the film. Okay, never mind. Why do I even bring up references?
That kind of brings us to House Vex, and we kind of we'll talk about Jaina and Nissa because I feel like them two as characters had the most development as really seeing kind of what their underlying motives are, who they are as people, and kind of like what they got in this life and what they're gonna plan on taking out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So Nissa kind of, she finds out what she already knew, that Seg loves Lyta. And I know she's jealous. I know she's a little bit jealous.
Of course.
But she knows she's got him. Like she said to Lyta, I got the baby coming, so move aside. But I was surprised. Now that I know the House Vex, their motive is to take over rule, but I was surprised that she does actually, she listened to Lyta, she does actually agree with Lyta, and she was really mad at her dad for doing this just because Voice of Rouse said so. What I worry about Nissa is that she gives me this Ivanka Trump vibes.
Wait, real quick, hold on. You said that she was mad because...
because...
Okay.
Sorry, I'll be quiet.
Let it out.
I'll let you. You want to know why? Because she is like Ivanka Trump, and Darren is like Trump. Because when they were like running for power, you were like, okay, like worst comes to worst, if this happens, Nissa will at least Ivanka being will at least be like the nice one to like debate at least. But I worry that if they actually do gain power, she's gonna just like succumb to it, just like Ivanka has.
I feel like she'd overthrow her father.
Cersei it.
Real quick, I just want to go backtrack a bit. You just mentioned that like you liked how she was mad about or like it's a point to make that she was mad about Nyssa being the one held the response. I mean, sorry, it was
Lyda
being the one held responsible.
Yeah, like she doesn't understand why her dad literally has no backbone, I assume. Like, she's like, you're just doing this because, like, I actually... Because in the beginning, if you saw, she actually thought that Lyda was guilty of it.
But why do you think Nyssa's mad at her dad for?
She's always going to be loyal to her dad, but she was upset that he did that without, like, proof, with knowing that he's setting her up.
Uh-huh. I think as much as we, like, have qualms about Nyssa, I think that her and Lyda are similar in the regards that they both do have strong moral compasses.
No, here's the thing.
I do.
No. Here's the thing. I'm gonna argue against that. Nyssa is still. This is all part of like this is
her plan.
This is a wrench in her plan because they needed Lyda to not be be held accountable for anything. Like they need Lyda to not. To be empowered and not be, once she's empowered, to not have that power taken away from her. So she's not mad about her being in jail or
but
anything.
But why?
Because she's not mad about Lyda being in jail with no proof or anything. She's mad because she's in jail because that ruins her plan to take over.
No.
Over the voice of Rao.
Yeah, I think it's partly that, and you're right. It is partly the fact that House Vex has made clear that their plan this for, I don't know how long, has been to overtake Voice of Rao and become the main people in charge. So yeah, they need House Zod, like they said, as allies, because Jaina and Lyda are very powerful. But I do think that she does have more of a moral compass, and that's clearer than Darren.
Well, because the thing is like she doesn't need Lyda. She doesn't, because her mother, regardless, like if Nyssa wouldn't have gotten involved and like convinced the mother to like come to their side or whatever, her mother is so loyal to the house that she was going to let her daughter like die if she had to. So they don't really need Lyda within their plan as long as they still have the mother.
They possibly need Lyda because once they start to overthrow, the mother will go up against them and be like, you are treasonous. And they don't want to have that.
I think the only reason why she wants to keep Lyda too is because she wants to keep Seg under control. And the fact that he said that he's in love with her, like he would not cooperate with them at all if they killed his love.
Yeah,
that's possible.
She needs Seg and she needs Jaina, and I do think that she needs Lyda.
Mm-hmm.
I think she needs all of them, but I know that brings me to connecting her and Jaina's conversation. And that was a cool scene because I think both of those women are such good actors, and they were so like powerful, and Jaina is more of like she stands for what like she's been given, like her role in society. Right. And I feel like Nyssa is kind of like trying to social climb with her father. Yep. But it was really interesting to see the plays off that and the way she's trying to manipulate Jaina. And at first she's like, no, there's always a catch with House Vex. Like, that's my problem with you guys. Right. But now she's like, without Lyda, what's the point? I do think that she's starting to realize that. Do you guys think that she's going to come around and...
Who?
Jaina.
Yes.
Well,
because they called her daughter a traitor.
Reluctantly, she'll probably come around. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, she realizes, like, that her house is not a traitor and that her daughter's not a traitor. She knows that. So, like, when someone calls your daughter that, it's like flipping a switch. It's like, hold up. Wait a second. But, again,
for their family.
Yeah.
What they represent.
Of course. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, everybody's going to stand up for their house. And they're going to stand up for their name and for their relationship and their place in society. So she's going to do whatever needs possible to keep her daughter alive, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she'll go to their side at least for a little bit.
Yeah, but it'll be really interesting to see how that plays off. We'll get into that, into predictions. But before that, we'll do Anthony's special character corner
cool.
segment. And then after that, news and hot topics, and then the predictions.
Okay,
so you want to give us your character corner?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, I like that. Character corner.
That's from Jeff, one of our engineers.
Character corner, both K's. Never mind. I'm sorry.
Next week it'll be both C's.
Both C's, guys. All right. I didn't really do it. I couldn't do one last week because we had the guests. So I wanted to go back and revisit Jax Orr, who I believe was the commander who kidnapped Seg. But Ivan in the chat actually said that Jax Orr will be a female on this show, so instead of instead of male, which is
that's cool,
goes against all the canon. But for this character, Connor, he's gonna be a he. So first appearance, it was actually in Action Comics number 289 back in October 1961, created by Otto Binder and George Papp. And origins, he's a Kryptonian and he's part of the Science Guild. Also, I read somewhere it's also the Thinker Guild, so they might be the same. I'm not sure. Go ahead and correct me in the chat. I know you will. Abilities, powers. So pretty much when he's operating under the yellow sun, he gets like the exact same powers as pretty much Superman. So yeah, superhuman abilities, similar to Superman. Enhanced strength, speed, stamina, invulnerability, fight, and vision-based powers. In some canons of the comics, he's part of the Kryptonian Science Guild and he worked alongside Jor-El. That's why I thought that the commander was because he mentioned that sense. Like I know your grandfather and everything, so they could have worked together. And when things were going down, like, you know, I'm sure Jor-El wasn't the only one working alone. Like, he could have been not working alone, so right. He could have been with like Jax Orr. But who knows? Mm-hmm. We'll have to wait. So he gained notoriety when he developed a Kryptonian nuclear warhead and set his sights on shooting it at a meteor out in space. But his plan failed thanks to Jor-El, Superman's dad, because he was in a spaceship and he knocked the missile's trajectory off of its course and it went straight into the moon of Weghor, where destroying over 500 colonists on that moon. But I want to pose the question, who's the real murderer here? I mean, I haven't read into the story, but Jor-El, you know, you should have just let that missile hit that meteor. But apparently...
you know, just kill them all.
Yeah, so they blame Jax for that, and he becomes the first criminal in Kryptonian history to be locked within the Phantom Zone. Dun, dun, dun. And also there's a little bit on him on the DCEU in the Man of Steel. He's portrayed on that picture. He's portrayed by Mackenzie Gray. And so he joined General Zod's the Sword of Rao to overthrow the Law Council and was captured, tried for treason, and thrown into the Phantom Zone. So similar, he didn't blow up like a whole colonist, but he tried to overdo a coup. A coup. In the movies, they call him part of the Thinker Guild. And I was just like, and another note too, which I thought was cool. He's the only one that's not part of the warrior / military guild in the Sword of Rao when he's rolling with Zod, which I thought was oh, he's like the smart ones of the group, I guess. They're all brawn. Oh, they're all like super smart, but he's like smarter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some of his abilities in the DCEU, he's a Thinker Guild, so he's a foremost scientist on par with Jor-El, just as smart as Jor-El, like similar to that. It was actually under Jax Orr's instructions that Zod was able to retrofit the Phantom Zone projector into a Phantom Drive, and they used it to search for more Kryptonian survivors, so they made it into like some sort of like traveling vessel. And he also had an appearance on Smallville, if you look at that picture. He was instead his name was Dax Orr, because he wasn't a villain in Smallville. He was more like a homie.
What's that?
And he was played by Mark McClure, and Mark McClure actually played Jimmy Olsen in 4 Superman movies, as well as the Supergirl movie in 1984.
That's so cool.
That was a fun fact.
Cool.
And in the show Smallville, he's actually responsible for coming up the supercomputer that would eventually be Brainiac, that's finished by Jor-El afterwards. So I was like, so he's been seen in like different types of like canon within DC. So those are just like 3 I decided to choose from and just talk about.
Thank you. I didn't know most of that.
I learn so much every time you come on.
I know.
Oh, thank you.
Davey Elmer in the chat said they already cast Hannah Waddingham as Jax Orr, and then Xavier Jones Jr. said she's from Game of Thrones and 12 Monkeys.
Oh, cool.
So that will be cool. That it's cool to see all the different versions, and then it'll be female.
Yeah. I love that it's female. I love that.
Yeah. I love what that show's doing with that. And then from there, do you want to tell us the exciting news that will be?
AfterBuzz TV News.
That was great.
News? Okay. I was like, are we doing it? So real quick, I have a little bit of news for you. So Krypton has their own like web series called Decrypting Krypton.
Go figure. That's so cool.
Go figure. Yeah.
Decrypting Krypton.
What, you got a better name? I get it. Okay.
No, we love it.
Matt, so the host, Matt Hiscox, interviewed artist Bobby Q and also Sean Sippos, and who plays Adam Strange. And so Sean talks about how Adam's the only human, like some of the talking points, you guys can go find it on online and stuff. It's a short little video. But some of the things he talked about, some quick highlights, how Adam's the only human on the show. And how he has like a struggle where, which is pretty much if he's good enough to be what he wants to be, which I believe that he wants to be a superhero, and not only like Adam himself, but he, or like the, well, actually it's more Sean Sippos himself wants to be a superhero, but Adam himself is like has an internal struggle, and so he also talks about Adam's connection with Superman, how he's the eyes and ears of the audience, and also how. They touch a little bit upon like he actually asked the show writers if he's ever gonna don the Adam Strange signature red and white costume, and he has like a helmet thing that has like a fin on it, like a
so cool.
It's very hard to miss for sure. So check that out. Check all that out online. You can find that. Just type in Decrypting Krypton. I believe it was episode 4 or 3. The most recent one, really. But yeah, that's all I got for news. Unless I want to... Okay.
Our biggest news is happening this week.
Bigger news.
Bigger news.
So we're... Okay. Yeah, we're having a very strange guest on Wednesday, actually. It's going to be Wednesday at 2, I believe.
Yeah, so instead of our normal tape time Sunday, we will be doing this Wednesday.
It's going to be... It's going to be like a...
Separate entity.
It's going to be a separate entity. It's like... It is part of the Krypton after show, but we're not going to talk about too much of the after show. It's going to be an interview episode for you guys, but we're interviewing Adam Strange himself. Sean Sippos is gonna come through. Yep, pretty excited.
I'm like so upset. You guys, we are so excited. So, yeah. That's why he said we have a very strange guest. So then we'll be breaking it down with him Wednesday, and then Sunday we'll be breaking down the episode
again.
So make sure that you guys leave us in the comments, not the chat, because those are deleted. Or tweet us anything, questions you want us to talk, ask anything like that.
Yeah, and I just bought a little like surprise present for him to do a little something with.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have games, maybe a couple giveaways, maybe. So it'll be a really exciting episode, you guys. We cannot wait to have him on. So make sure you ask, let us know what you want us to ask him or
That'd be great.
Tell him anything.
And go subscribe so that you know and you get the alert that it's actually happening.
Yeah, if you leave a comment, we'll shout out your YouTube name on there. Like, this person has this.
Speaking of YouTubers. It'll be a little fun little thing. Few shout outs for you guys in the chat. We love when you guys are here. We're going to definitely try to be more active in the chat with you guys.
Man, so many.
Ivan Soto, right? Ali Beg, Davey Elmer, Jacob with an, I think it's, might be Jacob, spelled very uniquely Albers. And that's just a few to name, but you guys are so awesome. We really love having you guys here. Keep being active with us and ask us what you want. If there's something you guys want us to cover, if we're wrong about anything, we love to talk to you guys.
Yep.
And before we wrap up the show, should we get into some predictions?
Sorry, I just read something else. I was like, oh wow,
what?
So it says episode 5 has been teased by the cast and twist. By the way, this is from Ivan.
Before we get into predictions, Anthony's decided there's a sudden announcement.
No, this is going to predictions. Like, what if Colin Salmon is Lyta's dad, as in the commander that kidnapped Seg? Is Lyta's dad.
Oh, well, that can be your prediction.
Huh?
Is that part of your prediction?
I just think that's something to let ruminate, for sure.
Let that soak in. We'll see.
I thought it was, like, really cool. I was like, oh, okay.
I mean, the inception of children there is a little bit different than anything else, too.
Yeah, I don't want to make the assumption yet.
It's a little bit different, but...
That's a good idea. But maybe. I'm not ready to commit. is the issue.
She has commitment issues.
I have commitment issues. I'm not trying to baby someone off to a daddy that he might not want to be the father of. Okay, you guys?
Oh, my God.
That was great. Oh, my God. Well, wait. What are your predictions?
Okay, I'll start
you
it
go,
off.
You go.
My predictions.
I have the worst predictions.
Sorry. Yeah, my predictions of this show are not very. I feel like the first season the of same, any show, same. I just don't understand. The same. Okay, Anthony, thank you so much. okay, I think Lyta will be released, and that will be the joining of House Vex and House Zod by force, not by choice. And then I think that Seg, when he finds out kind of what happened when he gets back, he's going to have one more challenge to kind of overcome, and then I think that leadership role that we want in Seg will come. Yeah. Those are my main points.
Okay.
My main prediction.
How do you think the mysterious commander fits into
the world?
No, fits into how you said the Zods and the Vex will combine. Because you said the Vex are going to get Lyta out. But, like, if these guys are on their way to get him out, it's going to be, like, it's going to come out ahead.
No, I think that's that's a really good point. And that's exactly why I think the show introduced that group this episode, because next episode there's going to be a collide of the different houses and then different organizations and then kind of a bring about of, yo, you guys, we are not the only planet. Newsflash, right. We're screwed. Buckle up.
Well, going off of all of that, I feel like what's going to happen is now that, you know, Seg wasn't cooperating, he escaped. That group of power are still going to get Lyta out, but hold her hostage and use her as a manipulation tool in order to figure all this out. And I think going off of that with the houses combining, I think adding the Brainiac factor into the fact that he is now the, you know, face of Rao or the voice of Rao, I think that it's going to take an episode or two, but these two houses are going to not only realize, like, they're coming together to overthrow him for one purpose, but now they're really going to try and overthrow him because they're going to realize something's different about him. He's going to do something that's completely different than what the norm is, and then they're going to have to, like, basically go into all-out war to overthrow.
Ooh, I like the spice!
Anthony. I got it up the ante.
I only brought salt and the spice. Salt and pepper here.
No, but you have the character corner. That was very spicy. The character corner.
Thanks, guys. Just to I got be the jalapeno reminded pepper. Reminded of my work on this show.
You got salt and pepper. No, I got jalapeno pepper.
I'm very curious about that commander dude, this mysterious faction, like the mercenaries. I want to see how they play into it. I want to see how Seg gets back into the like he's like practically stranded, bleeding, bruised.
Like, did he cut his finger off that bit?
No, he got like stabbed at one point.
No, but his finger was dripping. No, yeah, zoomed in on his finger.
He got stabbed on like his left side, so it could have been dripping all the way down.
Yeah, he's scavenging. Okay, back.
Yeah, he's like not doing too hot.
When he punched that woman in the face,
it was great.
I just love
great fucking way to summarize that scene.
That whole bit, that's all you got out of it.
That's
you
how rumors her in the start. Face. That's how rumors start.
Is it not
start.
Fact?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I really want to see what happens there. I want to see, is there more sentries going around? Like, Ona, like, have more, like, things that she touched along the way that just, like, she infected?
It's so creepy when a little girl is the vehicle.
Yes. Like, there's a lot of shows that do that, though, which is really creepy.
Very.
That they do that.
No.
Nope. So is that your...
Oh, yeah. I want to see if there's more sentries out there. Like, is it going to be, like, slowly a Brainiac army that's just going to start amassing, like, out of nowhere? Because everyone wears masks, so, like, you could, like... Hide it really easily.
Yeah.
Creepy. Yeah. We do know that next episode five, it will be called House of Zod. So we're for sure going to be getting way more Zod action, which is what I think all of us unanimously think. But we are going to wrap things up, you guys. So next Sunday, we will be covering House of Zod. This Wednesday, do not forget, we will be in the studio with Adam Strange. So remember to ask us tell us the questions or things you want us to let him know. I'm Steph Sabra. You can follow me on Instagram or Twitter at Steph Sabra. Anthony.
I'm Anthony.
And he forgot his name.
I'm Superman. I'm Anthony Becerra, everybody. You can find me everywhere at TonyBTony_. Again, TonyBTony_. Super Tony.
Yes. And I'm Candace Cruz. And you can find me on all of my social media at Candace R. Cruz.
Okay, that's it, guys. We'll see next Wednesday. Thanks for joining us.
Bye. We're going on a cruise.
We're going on a cruise with Candace.
For listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
I am Trent.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.